بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah salam and salam be upon the noble Prophet and his household, and the noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We resume the discussion of the collection of the hadith by Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, famous for 40 Nawawi hadith. Well, we have reached hadith number 13, and this is based upon the explanation by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, an Abi Hamzata Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, khadimi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. On the authority of Anas bin Malik, the servant of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, none of you truly believes until he wishes for his brother what he wishes for himself. This is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. The explanation, when he says, when the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يؤمن أحدكم, meaning, لا يتم إيمان أحدنا, the faith of any one of us will not be completed. So this negation here is a negation for kamal and tamam, negation of perfection and completion. It's not a negation of the foundation of iman, of faith. Laysa nafyan li asl al iman. It is not a negation of the foundation of faith. If someone says, what is the evidence for your interpretation? Isn't this a type of a changing the wording from its obvious meaning? Our response is that such action does not take the person, take him out of the state of iman, and is not to be considered as upstate. Rather, it is a way of advice and admonition, and therefore the negation becomes a negation of perfection of faith, not of its foundation. Now if someone also says, don't you denounce the people of ta'wil for their ta'wil? Don't you denounce the people of ta'wil, those who go away from the, or relinquish the obvious meaning into some other figurative or different meaning? The answer, we don't denounce except that ta'wil which is baseless in terms of the evidence. There is no dalil for it. And any ta'wil which is baseless, meaning does not have a proof, then it becomes a change, alteration, not an interpretation. However, the ta'wil which is based upon the dalil, then this is considered an interpretation and not an alteration. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said concerning Abdullah bin Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, when he invoked Allah for him, saying, Allahumma faqihhu fi al-deen wa'allimhu al-ta'wil. O Allah, make him a learned scholar, understanding the religion. And he said, عَلِّمْهُ التَّأْوِيلِ, meaning the understanding. So this is not the type of blameworthy ta'wil, which is in fact alteration and not an interpretation. Now if someone says, what about the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nahl, verse 1698, قال الله تعالى فإذا قرأت القرآن فاستعذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فإذا قرأت القرآن, if you want to give the إذا قرأت القرآن, when you recite the Quran, then seek refuge with Allah from shaitan. In fact, the obviously understood meaning is when you want to recite the Quran. So if we resort to this meaning, if you want to recite the Quran, is this considered the blameworthy ta'wil or correct ta'wil? The answer is this is correct ta'wil, because there is evidence from the action of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. When he recited or sought refuge in Allah, when he wanted to recite the Quran, he sought the refuge with Allah from the shaitan, not at the end of the recitation. So this is the obviously understood meaning, this is the interpretation, this is correct, this is not blameworthy changing of the meaning, for us to say when you want to recite the Quran. فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنِ. And if someone says, what about the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 6, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. The obviously understood meaning here is, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ, oh you believe, when you intend to offer the salah, then wash your faces and your hands. Is this considered the blameworthy false ta'wil or interpretation? No. This is correct. So therefore we don't denounce ta'wil in an absolute sense. However, we denounce the ta'wil where there is no evidence for it, and we call it tahrif, changing, alteration. Here the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, he said, لا يؤمن, none of you will believe. Linguistically, the term iman in the lugha is the al-iqrar, attestation, المستلزم للقبول, entailing acceptance and submission and yielding. This is the correct linguistic meaning of iman, and it is in agreement with the Islamic meaning of iman, with the Sharia meaning. Some, however, say that al-iman means attestation, and the correct meaning of iman in Sharia is that which is the attestation which leads or entails, necessitates acceptance and submission. So anyone who attests without acceptance and submission is not a believer. Is not a believer. Accordingly, the Jews and the Christians today are non-believers because they did not accept the deen of Islam and did not yield and submit to it. And Abu Talib attested to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prophethood. And he declared even saying, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ. And I know that the deen of Muhammad is from the best of deens. And he said, لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ أَوْ حَذَارِ مَسَبَّةٍ لَرَأَيْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. And had it not been for blameworthy from his tribe, from his people, or being insulted, then you would have seen me openly and clearly accepting it. And he also made it clear that the Prophet ﷺ was not lying when he said, لَقَدْ عَلِمُ أَنَّ ابْنَنَا لَا مُكَذِّبٌ لَدَيْنَا وَلَا يُعْنَى بِقَوْلِ الْأَبَاطِلِ. They know that our son, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not lying. وَلَا يُعْنَى بِقَوْلِ الْأَبَاطِلِ. And he is not concerned of the saying of falsehoods or a falsehood. This is a clear attestation and defense of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his poetry. However, despite all of this, he is not a believer because he did not accept and he did not yield and submit. So he died on the kufr. We seek refuge in Allah from that. The place of faith, al-iman, is al-qalb wal-lisan wal-jawarih. Al-qalb, the heart, the tongue, and the body parts. Meaning, al-iman yakunu bil-qalb, faith is established in the heart, and also by the tongue, and by the body parts. As to the tongue, the saying of the tongue is called iman. And the action of the body parts is called iman. And the evidence is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah in 2:143. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Concerning the turning of the Qibla from Mecca, from Jerusalem, from Bayt al-Maqdis to Mecca, and turning the Salah. And we made the Qibla which he used to face only to test those who followed the Messenger from those who would turn on their heels. Indeed, it was a great heavy except for those whom Allah guided, and here's the point. And Allah would never make your faith, look, your prayers, referring to the prayers as faith, to be lost. You see, Allah referred to the prayers as faith. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Their previous salah to Bayt al-Maqdis, Allah will count it for them. And Allah would never make your faith, your prayers, meaning to be lost. So here, meaning salatakum ila bayt al-maqdis, your prayer towards the Jerusalem is not to be lost. And he called it iman. And also the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the hadith which is reported by Muslim, that faith is 70 branches and more, فأعلاها the highest of which is قول لا إله إلا الله, the saying of لا إله إلا الله, there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah. وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق, and least is the removal of a harmful object from the way, from the road. والحياء شعبة من الإيمان, and bashfulness is a branch of faith. So when he said the highest is the saying of لا إله إلا الله, this is the utterance of the tongue, and the removal of the harmful object, this is from the action of جوارح, of the body parts, and it is إيمان. And bashfulness is from the action of the heart. As to the saying that Iman, the Iman's place is in the heart only, and therefore anyone who attests accordingly, then he has believed, this is clear error, incorrect. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith, if we go back to it please, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه حتى يحب, until he loves for his brother or wishes for his brother, this is love. And if someone wants to define what is love, we tell them love is love, and it cannot be explained better than its wording. Love is love. Al-mahabba hiya al-mahabba. To his brother, meaning to his believing brother, on faith. Loves for him what he loves for himself, from good and from warding of evil and protecting his honor and so forth. And in the hadith, whoever loves to be removed from the hell and admitted to paradise, let him die while believing in Allah and the last day, and to give to people what he loves for them to give him. The benefits of this verse, the benefits of this hadith. Number one, the permissibility to negate something due to its incompletion, due to its incompletion, being incomplete. You can say, you can negate it. In this case, you will be negating the completion. And in the hadith, لا يؤمن من لا يأمن جاره بوائقه. He is not a believer, meaning a true believer on complete faith. The person whose neighbor does not feel safe from his evil. This is a negation of completion, of completeness, of faith. Not of the foundation of faith itself. He is a believer, but ناقص الإيمان, incomplete in faith because of this evil. From this, the same thing, the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he says لا صلاة بحضرة طعام, no salah when food is present, meaning no complete salah, because this person who is about to pray, his heart will be busy with the food presented or brought forth. And the examples like this are many. Secondly, the obligation that the brother loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Because the negation of Iman, of faith, for the one who doesn't do that, is an indication for this obligation or evidence. Because iman is not negated except due to the existence of something which opposes it, or due to the absence of an obligation which is part of it. Thirdly, warning against envy, because the person who envies others does not love for them what he loves for himself. Rather, he loves that the favor of Allah bestowed on others be removed, and the people of knowledge differed concerning the meaning of hasad. Some of them said it means wishing that the favor be lifted from others. Others said that it means disliking what Allah favored others with. And this is the choice of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. If the person dislikes what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon others, then in this case he is envying him, even though he may not wish that the favors be lifted. If someone now says that for you to love for your brother what you love for yourself is something difficult, like for example you love that he becomes a scholar or becomes rich and have children and upright, this could be difficult. The answer, if you train yourself on that, it wouldn't be. It will become easy once you train yourself on that. However, if you follow your desires, then in this case, yes, it will become difficult for you to love for him what you love for yourself. Now, if some student now comes and says, would this include that I dictate to my student, my colleague who is a student, dictate to him the answers in the exam because I love to pass the exam and be successful, so should I dictate to him the answers so that he also passes the exam and be successful? The answer is no, because this is from ghish, deception. In fact, this is an insult to your brother and not an act of goodness towards him. Because if you train him on deception and treason, he will be accustomed to it. And therefore you will be deceiving him, because he will carry a degree while not deserving it. These are, in summary, some of the benefits of this hadith. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it an admonition to myself and to all of you. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.